This is the technical difficulties we're playing Citation Needed. Joining me today, he reads books, you know, it's Chris Joel.
Hello.
Everyone's favourite Gary Brannan, Gary Brannan.
Ultra pure, silver plated, and available from Lidl.
Is that just you? Are you just describing yourself there?
I don't want to know which bit silver plated.
And the fanciest man on the internet, Matt Gray.
Putting the butt into butter.
In front of me, I've got an article from Wikipedia, and these folks can't see it. Every fact to get right to the point, and a ding, and the special prize for particularly good answers, which is...
Mystery Biscuits!
And today we are talking about Backpackers Express.
Vroomph!
Oh, it would be doing that, yes.
Is it named because you can avoid them?
Literally the opposite.
So you can
you're
find
obliged
them.
To touch just them so, all the time on the journey. Welcome to the Backpackers Express, sir. Sit on a backpacker's lap. Have him fill you up from behind.
You are actually slightly closer than you may think there, so I'm actually going to give you a point.
So is this just a dating site for backpackers?
No, definitely not a dating. Definitely a form of transport.
Is it a bus?
No.
Is it two buses?
No.
Is it a train?
No.
Is it a tuk-tuk?
I mean, you're all thinking a bit too small and too short haul here.
Is it a gigantic camel? Is it the overnight flight from Europe to Eastern?
Yeah, I'll give you a point. Yeah. It was the idea of doing that sort of flight for backpackers.
It's the gap year trip.
It is the gap year trip. Yes.
So, would there be hold luggage or no hold luggage?
Well, this
no hold bar.
Wrestling in midair.
just to be clear, this is not just the name of a flight. This was going to be an airline.
Oh, that'll be the shittiest, most rundown plane you've ever seen, twanging up to the edge of the runway, won't it? All painted up on the side.
Old DC-3.
Yeah.
They will have come up with this idea before 2006.
Right, so Gary's getting a point for old planes, they're going to sublease them, and you're definitely getting a point for 06, it was 2003. Why do you think that?
Because it was around 2006 to 2008 where all of the airlines went dead because no one had any money.
Yes, that's pretty much right. It in fact, you're going to have the point. The answer was it closed down in 2005.
Is this the kind of airline where your seating allocation would say rear gunner? That kind of
thing. It was going to be Boeing 747s. They were actually going that far.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah.
What would you want if you're a backpacker on an airplane?
Really, really, really cheap.
Yes.
Yeah, two ticket types, in and out.
Yeah.
Wait, what's out? They strap
really, really intense.
Strapping to the wing with duct tape. To be fair, wing walking is a thing, but I think it's normally...
12-hour wing walk.
It's not on a jet engine, is what I'm saying.
First come, first serve. Just a big space, rip all the seats out, pile them in, have it on a weight thing. It's like, right, we are now full, you're on the next one, go.
Yeah, I'm guessing
big
no...
Big pile of backpackers, even in the hold.
No frills, bring your own food kind of stuff.
See, that's not strict. I'm going to give Chris the point. It was certainly cheap, pack them in, put them all together. Essentially a bus, but there was
like
some
like an
other...
air bus.
There was some... There were some other things they were thinking of, and it wasn't that kind of no-frills bring your own food.
Oh, no. Is it tedious things that people... I'm going to insult people who've gone backpacking now. Brace yourselves. Is it things that tedious people that might have gone backpacking might enjoy? So, like, crafts and things like that. And
seating.
Yeah. Opportunities to exchange long stories about just how ethnic you got when you were out there and off the tourist trail you went.
You all have some very nice stereotypes of backpackers. I'm going to give you the point.
I mean, I'm right.
Stereotypes of backpackers. No, you've got the good side of backpacking.
Doesn't go through customs.
Oh, yeah.
It's certainly something to do with what you get duty-free there.
Smuggling anything you want.
We're still 3 miles out. Get down the rest of your joint. This is your captain speaking.
How is it free booze? That's the hot point.
It's not free booze, but I'll give you the point. It was having a small pub on board. The airline was going to have an official...
Brewery.
Brewery.
Hey.
Spot on, not even. I thought you were going to go for beer, but brewery is exactly right. The point.
Well, 747-400s, when they first came in, the top deck was...
It was a cocktail
bar. It was a cocktail bar, yeah.
It's the kind of place that people like David Frost would lounge about and philander in midair.
Midair philanderer.
That's a fair point. What are the... You know, like you've got international waters?
Yes.
Where, you know, once you get outside, is it the 5 mile limit or something?
3 miles.
3 mile limit. You can do whatever thou willst because you're in international waters, right? Hence pirate radio. What are the laws when you're in the air?
Well, the 3 mile exclusion, the 3 mile coastal waters thing is how far you could hit somebody with a big old cannon.
Right.
From back in the day. So if you extrapolate that, you end up with all sorts of worrying things like ground-to-air missiles.
Yeah.
So I can answer this. It's the 1944 Convention on International Civil Aviation. All aircraft have the nationality of the state in which they are registered.
Uh-huh.
So if you're on a US flag-carrying plane, you can't drink under 21. If you're on an Australian one, you can't drink...
Births were registered over the country that you were over.
If you have a birth outside in international waters, your birth location is listed as at sea.
Yes, it is.
Nice.
And if you're on a plane, it can be listed as in the air. Those are valid entries on birth certificates.
I have seen a baptism entry, 1780s, I think, where the place of birth was given as the Latin long.
And
the child was called Atlantica.
Oh, that's nice.
And
that's
we checked the Latin long and it did come roughly in the middle of the Atlantic.
Oh, okay.
Backpackers Express was going to be an airline with a pub on board where backpackers would get cheap tickets and go over. And presumably anyone not wanting to be associated with a load of backpackers
would get a different flight.
Go on a different airline.
A different flight, yes. The air crew would encourage passengers to socialise.
Oh,
spot the British people.
No, I
They'll
don't
have a bit of enforced fun.
Yeah.
Oh no, they'd have getting to know you games while you're on the tarmac.
When I was a lot younger, I did that backpackers bus through the Australian outback, and it's horrible.
Oh, f- off, honestly.
Did you have top pants?
No, I didn't.
They didn't exist back then.
That's fair.
You were yet to become the Archbishop of Banterbury than you would later be. Yeah.
God, it's like the bus driver playing music over the thing, saying, "Right, well, these are the actions you should." Oh, no.
These are the actions you're.
These are the actions.
How long would that flight be? It'd be a good like 8-9 hours, wouldn't
it? Eternity.
But it would feel like you were there forever. The thought of just people.
And it's a 24-hour flight from London anyway. So
I would go on that airline only if there was a dedicated misanthropes cabin at the front.
That's generally called first class on most airlines, Gary. But on this one, not so much.
No, I'd be quite happy with access to the pub and everything else, as long as I didn't have to talk to anyone else.
Again, that is first class. You're literally describing first class there.
The Benton airplane, I'm most interested in one of the crew ones. It depends on the plane, but a lot of them are right in the nose, sort of directly below the flight.
And if you're on A380, they have 2.5 decks. There is another half deck up in the very top of the plane.
Oh.
With sort of half height, you can crawl in and get sleep there.
I'd want that one. I'd be fine with that.
No, you wouldn't, because you're going to be down there, and then you're going to get up, and you're going to whack your head on the thing.
Yeah, but I'm not with them backpackers, am I?
That's not unreasonable.
So what you're advocating actually is you'll sleep in the wheel well if necessary.
Yeah, but not with them.
That's not... I think previous news incidents have said that is not a good place to sleep. That is a good place to freeze, die, and fall out in someone's backyard.
I'm not with them, am I, though?
Backpackers freezing to death.
Everybody around this table is going, you know what, that is a bit of a tough choice.
So what did some of the industry experts, looking at this airline's plans, what did they say?
It's just going to be a tin can full of arseholes at 30,000 feet.
Yes. What was the media term for tin full of arseholes at 30,000 feet?
Sounds like he's nailed it to me, to be fair.
If you can define it better, I'd love to hear it.
You get angry in a car, what do you call it?
Road rage.
What do you call it in the plane?
Air rage.
Air rage. Have a point.
Creative.
Yes. Disruptive or violent behaviour perpetrated on an aircraft. I actually have the first case of air rage here, and I'll give you a point of if you can roughly guess the
is
year.
Is it ridiculously early? Is it like 1915 when two pilots have a dust-up in mid-air over the Western Front?
I seem to remember, you know, this chap called the Red Baron upset.
Not between planes. I mean, like, gunner and pilot.
No, it has to be on a passenger plane. Here.
60s.
1920s.
Yeah, and that's going to be closer. Stuff like the little twin-engine de Havilland when there are just 16 people getting high on...
Going between London and Paris and stuff like that.
Getting hammered on what's the phrase I'm looking for? Martinis.
Yeah.
So what are you saying?
30s.
1938, Neville Chamberlain's flight back from Germany.
you said 30s first. I'm going to give you... It was actually the 40s, 1947, on a flight from Havana to Miami. It was simply a drunk man assaulting a passenger and biting a flight attendant.
Bite attendant?
I'm sure that person appreciated the gag as you stood there with your martini behind.
I think you're
fine. Bite attendant.
This isn't helping.
Which led to the second incident of that.
Bite attendant glassing someone.
That whole plane lands full of injured, fight injured people.
Well, this goes back to something we said earlier, because they didn't know whose jurisdiction it was in. No one at the landing area really wanted to prosecute, and they frequently got away with it.
Yeah.
And eventually it came to be that the laws of the country where the aircraft was registered take precedence.
Has the thing happened with planes like it's happened with boats where they're registered in tax havens?
That's a fair point. I was wondering that myself just then.
It's difficult to do that for most airlines because they want to be the flag and they want to be registered in a kind of British Airways wants to be registered in the UK. There are still a lot of national flag carriers out there.
So if I wanted to have a mid-air fight club with no repercussions...
Aeroflot.
I was going to say, what is the best country to register my plane?
Aeristana.
Yeah. Like Cayman Islands or something like that.
That's if you want to avoid tax. If you want to avoid being punished for hitting someone, I think there are very few jurisdictions which simultaneously don't have a law against that and can register a plane.
I'm going to say this. Somewhere out there, there's some rich bloke who is investigating that right
That's true. What can we do in international water? I don't know.
Oh, I could break a really good super injunction right now, but I'm not going to. I really could.
You could. I'll have to edit it out anyway.
Well,
So Backpackers Express never actually got to that point.
Good.
They never actually managed to lease any aircraft.
Wow, that's a first on stumbling block, isn't it?
They never even really got enough funding. What did the industry think of them?
They were just massive arseholes.
I mean, the Times phrased it as, it seems doubtful to any sane observer whether the project will ever get off the ground.
Hey!
I didn't realise they read that. That was literal and metaphorical.
And that is a joke from the Times of London.
And that the party in the sky was, and I'm quoting directly here, a radical move. Not in the 90s radical sense.
No.
Just in I think as the Times goes.
It's not that I'm saying, well, that's brave.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've just realised, is this the Wenger plane?
This is actually the Wenger. This is actually Wenger Airways, isn't it?
It bloody is.
Sorry.
Oh, we like to party.
You've just remembered the songs, haven't you? You've just
it's no. Different. Fortunately, I don't know the words.
But if are they doing a New York to San Francisco route?
There we go. No, that was the Wenger bus.
That was the bus.
That was the bus.
But
the plane. No, the plane was going to Ibiza. The plane always.
It was. You're quite right. It was going to Ibiza. Yeah.
No matter the mode of transport, it's always an intercity disco. Yeah, no, that was the train.
No, that was the bus.
That was the bus.
Intercity is a type of train.
Okay.
You're no longer welcome in my house. Get out.
Some trains did used to have a disco carriage. I'm not joking.
In the 70s?
Yes. In the 70s. In the 70s, some special trains, especially football special trains, BR would put on a
Oh, this was a train for all the football supporters, yeah, so the commuters weren't bothered by the football.
This is the Backpackers Express, but for footballers on trains.
It's for basically, if you're going to a match, you would charter a whole football special train that is the old carriages, okay, so everyone's corralled in one place, the police know when you're arriving, whatever else, but on the back of it, they would put an empty freight car, effectively, with a disco in it, and you'd have the disco carriage. They used to have a pub carriage on the Southern. They put a carriage. They fitted out inside like a country pub.
Fantastic.
Yeah, but it had no windows. That was a problem because they put pub
in
seating.
A shipping container.
They put seating down the side, so you had no idea where you were when the train stopped.
Also, do you really want that many drunk people who can't see outside on a swaying train?
It was for commuters. It was for people going home on a Friday night. They put the pub carriage on.
Oh, it's belted.
There is no better way to guarantee you'll end up at the terminus by accident.
But it was proper country pub, dimple pint glasses, handful booze, the lot.
You've just given
me... Fantastic.
Great idea.
That's actually not a bad plan. I mean, it's now a bad plan because you can't fit that many people in there and...
I don't know. If you make it obviously as civilised, you're going to have one dimple pint kind of real ale pub. It polices itself.
Top tables.
It's fireplace.
Fireplace.
I'm not joking. It's a steam train.
Let's face it, if it's fired by steam, it's not the least likely thing you could put on there.
It's already got a big fire at the front of it. Stick a little one in the middle, it's fine.
Hey, great way to get it lit as well. Shovel a coal straight from the firebox.
It's true. That's how they used to make. That's how travel used to be, kids.
Is it the end of the sliding scale though? So you have the dining car, then there'll be like a snacking car, then there'll be a soft drinks car, and then you got the pub car, and then you got the club at the end of the night.
Whoa! So imagine that. Roll out off the end of the club car into the kebab van car at the back.
Which is just a trailer being dragged along.
Salad and sauce!
But it's a steam-powered rotatey thing. Yeah.
Chuck some more coals, it's fine. Thing is, it's not actually cooking the meat with coals, that's just providing the power for the electric grill.
that's a great idea. Rotating
the meat.
Oh, come on, BR, make this happen.
Bihar, that hasn't been Bihar for years.
Whatever.
Congratulations, Chris, you win this one.
Fantastic.
Congratulations. Today's prize is French.
Oh.
You win chocolate icing in the shape of a cow. It's lavash ganache. You nearly got there in time enough, Matt. Well done. With that, we say thank you to Chris Joel, Gary Brannan, Matt Gray. Ivan Tomscott. We'll see you next time.